blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And of course, it's Bishop E.W. Jackson. As I predicted last night, I'd be sitting in again tonight for Abraham Hamilton III. My honor to do so. Great to be with you all. Thank you so much for your support for American Family Radio and for American Family Association and all of the affiliated organizations. We couldn't do it without you. So God bless you. We are profoundly grateful. Well, we got a lot to talk about today, and later on in the program, I'm going to be taking your phone calls, so stand by for that, because there's plenty to talk about. You know, I almost want to begin the program by talking about supporting President Trump for running for a third term. I mean, everybody knows he's going to do that, right? Well, the little problem with the 22nd Amendment, no big deal. You know, folks, I'll tell you something. President Trump is not going to run for a third term. But he loves getting the media all worked up about stuff like that. Who knows? You know what I mean? I think, first of all, look, I don't know how you all feel about it. I think President Trump is going to go down in history as one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. But I also believe he's going to go down as probably the funniest and most entertaining president we've ever had. I mean, for a guy who's capable of getting things done, he sure does it with a whole lot of panache and a whole lot of fun. And I think he just loves to say things that he knows the press will just drive them out of their gore. And they'll go off running, you know, with the, yeah, he's not going to leave office. You know, you hear these leftists running. He's not going to leave office. He's going to refuse to go. I was going to say it's silly, but actually, it really borders on the psychotic. It really does. It borders on the psychotic. President Trump loves this country. He reveres the Constitution of the United States. He respects it, and I guarantee you, when the time comes, President Trump is going to pass the baton. Presumably to one of his heirs apparent, who shares his values and shares his vision for our country and his vision for the world order, one in which American sovereignty is first and foremost, and we work with other nations on a voluntary basis, but we are not beholden to nor answerable to the United Nations or any other entity. The United States government is answerable to the American people, period, full stop, which unlike some of these other folks who they just seem to be so, they are so globally minded that the United States of America is almost just a footnote. You know what I mean? We're a mere mention in the grand scheme of things. And by the way, you know, before I get into that, let me say, let's pray for the people of Jamaica, because apparently they're being hit with a hurricane unlike anything since we've been keeping records, of course, that we've ever recorded. I love it when people say, it's the worst hurricane in history. No, it's the worst hurricane since we have been measuring the speed of hurricanes. But given the Earth's history, the biblical history of the Earth of 6,000 years, I guarantee you over that 6,000-year period, there have been many hurricanes as fast, as strong, as big as this one, and maybe even faster, stronger, and bigger. But, you know, people like to, they like to play God, particularly the climate change people. They like to play God and act like they see the whole sweep of history and they know everything, and they know that this is so unusual. This is the worst it's ever been. Well, no, it's just the worst you've ever seen. But in any way, that aside, pray for the folks in Jamaica, because obviously this is going to be it already is a devastating hurricane that's going to level a good part of Jamaica, and they will have to rebuild from the ashes. So our prayers, of course, go out and go up for them, and I'm sure the American people will respond with whatever humanitarian aid is needed. We always respond more than any other nation on earth, another thing that makes us an exceptional country. I was going to say, though, you know, the global attitude. I mean, yeah, look, we Americans have a global attitude in the sense that we care about our neighbors, our fellow human beings who live in other places, and we try to help them whenever we can. It's just that we patriots understand that we've got to take care of our own country first, because otherwise we're not in a position to help anybody. America first. That's not just a slogan. That is a policy. That should be our way of life. And it doesn't mean we hate anybody, because we don't. It means we understand we have a first responsibility to our own country. So looking at some of the priorities that Speaker Johnson has revealed about what the Democrats, I affectionately refer to them as the Demoncrats, because I think that's what they are, a demonic cult, have asked for or are demanding. Forgive me, I shouldn't say ask, because they're not asking for anything. They're demanding are some of the most bizarre things you ever imagine. You can imagine. I mean, for example, why should the American people be giving millions of dollars to the global LGBTQI plus awareness campaign? I mean, can you think of a reason why we should be giving millions of dollars to the global LGBTQI plus awareness campaigns? And by the way, is that even a constitutional responsibility? To me, you are stealing the money of the American people and engaging in an unconstitutional activity in the dispersal of that money around the globe for a reason that in and of itself is completely and totally invalid. Not only constitutionally, but morally. I mean, you're promoting sexual deviancy around the world. And then another one. Another millions of dollars for the LGBTQI democracy grants in the Balkans. I mean, really? And I don't understand, what does LGBTQI plus democracy mean? Do you know what that means? No. Here's what this tells me, though, folks. And by the way, this is just a small smattering of the crazy ways in which they are spending our money. These people really have a vision of some kind of global revolution, and they are using our money to promote that revolution. They really do have some kind of a vision of a worldwide government, and they are using our money to promote that vision. Why in the world else would you give money for these bizarre activities? Well, you're not giving money for those bizarre activities. Ultimately, you're buying people around the globe who will be used as part of a network for some kind of global movement, revolution, you call it what you will, that you are trying to effectuate. That's really what's going on here. And of course, like I said, this is just the tip of the iceberg. $200 billion for illegal aliens. We allow that money to be spent. You know what that is? That's a worldwide invitation that once again says what I said many, many times before President Trump was elected, and continued to say after he got elected and started cracking down on all this illegal alien invasion, which is that's like sending a worldwide invitation saying, no matter what it takes, get here, because when you get here, we will take care of you and we will make sure that they can't get you out. That's what it means to spend $200 billion on health care for illegal aliens. And by the way, did you see, you heard Brandon Johnson, mayor of Chicago, Well, it almost sticks in my throat to even say that, because how in the world can this idiot be mayor of Chicago or mayor of anything? I mean, my goodness. Is it Lilliput? Was that the imaginary town that he shouldn't be mayor of anything? I mean, this guy is completely incompetent. He is an absolute racist. And I don't make that charge often, but he is an absolute racist and completely incompetent. So he got mad at a reporter because a reporter said, you know, talked about the money he's going to spend on illegal aliens. He got all worked up. These are human beings, and I will never use that racist term. It's not a racist term. It's a legally neutral term. All it means is a foreigner who is in our country without authorization. That's all it means. Oh, no. It's a racist term. I don't know whether you're talking about some kind of science fiction thing or what. The word alien means foreigner, and science fiction writers and movie makers adopted the term to refer to outer people coming from outer space. I don't know how long it's been, but that's not the original meaning of the word. The word actually just means foreigner. All of a sudden, it's a racial term. And when the person says, well, that's the legal phrase, that's the statutory language, folks. Lawyers didn't come up with that language because they thought it was racist. They came up with that language because they thought it was legally precise. And so he says, well, you know, there was a time when it was, you know, slavery was legal. You want me to call my people slaves? Again, folks, this is one of these people. You got to raise his IQ 200 points to get to dumb. I mean, you really do. And, you know, that's nothing but an appeal to racial demagoguery and bitterness and anger and hatred and emotions that have nothing to do with reality today. I mean, preposterous. Well, you want me to call black people slaves now? My people? I mean, oh, boy. But, again, you know, that's why you and I have to stay actively engaged and involved in prayer and action in our own fields of and venues of activity, because if we don't, you know, it'll come to me, but all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. I was going to say Lord Acton, but I don't think that was Lord Acton. But that's really true. If we do nothing, they will take over. They will happily fill the vacuum, and we can't let that happen. So let's by all means stay at it and not assume that because President Trump is in office, all is well, because President Trump is dealing with the legal and the political, but the cultural, the spiritual and the cultural are still battles to be waged, and those have to be waged right on the ground where we are in our schools, in our city councils, in our school boards, pretty much everywhere. Because these folks, well, the devil, frankly, is relentless. I mean, think about it, folks. If you're willing to create a rebellion in heaven, is there anything you won't do? And if you're deluded enough to think that you can overthrow God, is there any stupidity of which you are not capable? If you're willing to think you can actually replace God and you can sit on the throne of God, is there any delusion that cannot capture your sick mind? And all this stuff that we're witnessing, it's all demonic, spiritual at its root. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. Stand by. We'll be back in just a few moments.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." In all of life, one of the single most fruitful habits is that of reading God's word every single day. And I like to encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. It might be 3 different chapters, or it might be the same chapter 3 times over, but spending time in God's word will bless your life in ways you don't fully comprehend. God's word ministers to your mind, body, and spirit in a way that no one else or nothing else can. And remember, the word of God is pregnant with the ability to bless you. It's full of light, full of grace, full of peace, power, and joy. I would challenge and encourage you to start the habit of reading 3 chapters a day today. And also, parents, I would encourage you to start the habit of having your children, each of them, to read 3 chapters in their Bible every day as well. It's a habit that'll bless your whole family.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner, and glad to be with you today. By the way, folks, this whole issue of Trump derangement syndrome, the idea of that these folks, they are so obsessed with this president, they hate him so much that they're incapable of thinking straight. They really are. I mean, they're caught up now on the ballroom. And I think I mentioned that last night, talked a little bit about that last night. But, you know, now the ballroom is a sign that he is a dictator, and a sign that he is, you know, a tyrant, and a sign that, and they use this kind of language. You know, he will not follow the rules. Now, they don't tell you what rules he's broken. They don't tell you that. I mean, he's paying for this ballroom without taxpayer money at all. So they don't say what rules the president of the United States has broken in building a beautiful ballroom for the American people's house, the people's house. It's not his. He doesn't get to take it with him. So they don't tell you what rules he's broken. He's going to leave the White House a more beautiful place than when he found it. But somehow it just shows what a tyrant he is, shows he's a dictator. I did a little historical research, as I am wont to do from time to time. You know who else the Democrats called a tyrant and a dictator that justified ultimately his assassination? Yep, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. That's right. The slave master class particularly hated his guts, not because of anything he did, but because of what they ascribed to him. He's a tyrant, he's a dictator, and we've got to kill him, he's got to go. And of course, John Wilkes Booth ultimately got that done after the Civil War was won, but he ultimately did assassinate the President of the United States at that time. But it all began with that rhetoric. He's a tyrant, he's a dictator, he is violating our rights, and of course that was the justification for seceding from the Union. And you know, here's the ironic thing. Now, you students of history might disagree with me on this, but I think I'd win that debate. I don't think Abraham Lincoln had the least interest in splitting the Union by trying to unilaterally end slavery. I don't think he had the least interest in that. Now, don't get me wrong. I think he was against slavery as a matter of principle, and I think he thought it was ultimately unsustainable. But I think the last thing in the world he would have done was to issue some grand scheme to end slavery, because he simply didn't want to split the Union. In fact, I'm sure you all know that in the early stages, probably the first couple of years, up until the Emancipation Proclamation, I think his primary objective was simply to bring the Union back together, not to end slavery, but to bring the Union back together. But ending slavery became part of the strategy for winning the war, knowing that ending slavery would weaken the slave master class. And I put it that way because most people in the South didn't own slaves. A very small percentage owned slaves. And if you don't include the families of the patriarchs who owned the plantations, the number is only somewhere around 5%. I mean, it's a staggering number, and most people have no clue that that's true, but that's the absolute truth. The number of people in America who owned slaves overall in our country during the period of slavery only amounts to about 5% of the population. I mean, who actually owned them. Now, if you include the wife and you include the children and you include the grandchildren and you include the uncle and, everybody living there under the patriarch's rule, if you will, then, yeah, you can get the number up to about 30%, but that's still 70% of the people who don't own slaves. And then when you add the North end, that number drops dramatically. But, you would think every American of European ancestry owned a slave. But again, it was the slave master class, because their lifestyle and their wealth was at stake, that they had to completely demonize Abraham Lincoln, and that again, that demonization ultimately led to his assassination. As we know, that same demonization against President Donald Trump has led to two attempted assassinations on his life. And I think a third one that was being plotted, that they found out about the plot before anything was implemented. So, the ballroom, folks, is just a ballroom, and it's going to be a beautiful addition to the White House. And I just shake my head at the people going through all this consternation and hand-wringing and this is terrible. This is terrible. He's building a ballroom. He's tearing down the White House. And these people are, they folks, I don't think it's any exaggeration. They are literally psychotic. I mean, that's paranoid psychosis to be thinking like that. But anyway, that's what it is. By the way, I haven't reminded you, I've got a podcast on American Family Radio. I'm still part of the AFR family. I'm not on daily with you, but I have a podcast that posts every Wednesday. It will be on tomorrow morning. Be a little bit different than this, by the way. And of course, you can't call it to my podcast because it's pre-recorded, but I always record it just the evening before it is posted. So this one will be posted tomorrow morning. So please go to AFR.net and check out the podcast. It's called The Awakening, same name as my radio program, The Awakening. And by the way, The Awakening podcast was listed as one of the top 50 Christian podcasts in America. Very grateful to God for that, and to you as well for that. One of the most top 50 most listened to Christian podcasts in the country. So please be sure to tune in if you can. Okay. All right. Let's get to this issue of Hamas. I've talked to you about this before, and I've expressed my doubts that there could ever be peace in spite of President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu's gallant efforts, that there will actually be peace with Hamas, because Hamas is a terrorist cult, a cult within a cult. Islam is a cult. Hamas is a cult within a cult. And they are dedicated to the destruction of Israel and the Jewish people. Now, come on, let's not kid ourselves here. And I don't think they're ever going to give that up, even at the point of losing their lives. I don't think they're going to give that up. So, of course, we just recently saw them break the ceasefire and attack some IDF troops. And apparently Benjamin Netanyahu is going to respond very, very aggressively. I think President Trump is hoping that these episodic breakages of the momentum will not in the end sink the peace agreement. But I have grave doubts about that. See, because remember, folks, we're dealing with biblical stuff here. This stuff has biblical implications. And we know from a biblical perspective, the world is never going to be at peace with Israel. It's just not going to happen until Jesus comes. That's why you say, I think it was 7 European nations declared that they were going to recognize a Palestinian state. When you do that, all you're doing is stoking the war and stoking the violence and stoking the terrorism. because what that tells them is that there are people on their side, and no matter what atrocities they commit, no matter how many men, women, and innocent children they murder, there are idiots in the world who will come to their aid and come to their side and defend them and say, "Oh no, they're the oppressed ones. They're the victims." So let's watch this very carefully. Of course, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the people of Israel, and we pray for the Palestinian people, because they need to break with this terrorist cult that is trying to lead them into the abyss. And that's all they're doing. Look at what they've done to Gaza. I mean, they've literally gotten Gaza leveled at this point, because we know that the Hamas will use any people as human shields. They will use any buildings, including hospitals. They will use anything and anybody to make them part of their terrorist activities. And they leave Israel very little choice other than to go in and warn people when they're coming in for an attack, and to warn them to get out of the area. They leave them very little choice. And then Hamas doesn't want them to move, because Hamas wants to be able to say, "Look, they killed 5 innocent civilians." Well, no, Hamas killed them, because Hamas is the one who kept them where Israel was going to attack. Hamas was the one who wanted them there so that they could increase the body count. Remember, these terrorists have said, "We're going to defeat you Americans because you love life, but we love death." They've said that. They love death, they tell us. That means they don't care about their people, other Palestinians dying, if it contributes to the cause. You know, whenever there's a group of people, folks, who don't adhere to a Judeo-Christian value system, where we honor life as sacred, and we don't believe that taking another human being's life for our own political convenience is ever a moral or right thing to do. Self-defense, that's another matter. But we don't ever believe that that's a right thing to do, the torturing and murdering innocent people or people who simply don't agree with us is ever a right thing to do. When you don't have that fundamental basis for life and for moral conduct, and you get to make it up as you go along, then what that means ultimately is whatever furthers my agenda is right. And that's the way communists think. That's the way Islamic terrorists think. That's the way all cultish people who don't know God and don't acknowledge his word, that's the way they think. By any means necessary, the end justifies the means. And that's the way they're going to behave, which puts those of us who do adhere to that Judeo-Christian worldview, that biblical worldview and biblical morality, it puts us at a practical disadvantage, but it puts us at a spiritual advantage that can never be overcome, because it puts us on God's side and under God's protection, so that we don't ever have to resort to the same nefarious behavior that these terrorists do in order to succeed, in order to win. So we just need to be praying for the situation in the Middle East, understanding what the ultimate biblical outcome is. But look, I would welcome it if President Trump was able to negotiate an effective peace deal that at least gave Israel and the Jewish people living in Israel and the Palestinians and the Middle East a time of peace, a time to think about the future in a positive, uplifting, inspired way, rather than thinking of only one thing: how do we kill all the Jews? How do we destroy Israel? Because that's been their preoccupation now for what, 2 generations, if not more. And they're never going to get that done. It is a suicide mission. But again, when you love death, suicide mission looks pretty attractive. Okay, I'm going to come to the telephones in the next segment. 888-589-8840 is the number. That's 888-589-8840. I want to mention the Virginia election again, because the next time I am on with you, other than the podcast tomorrow, the next time I'm on with you, unless I have to sup with someone, the election in Virginia will be over. And I want to solicit again your prayers in behalf of Virginia. I had predicted a one-point win, but I here again, that's not a prophetic utterance. I'm not saying the Lord told me, okay? There are times when the Lord does tell me something, and I'll say it. If I have that conviction the Lord told me, I'll say it. But this is my prayer, and this is my faith at work. Not the Lord telling me that he's this is what he's going to do. So we shall see. He hasn't told me he's not going to do it. So, you know, if the Lord told me I'm not going to do it, I couldn't say it. But he hasn't told me he's not going to do it. So I can petition him to do it, because we really need Winsome Sears as governor of Virginia if we're going to save Virginia from becoming California or Illinois or Massachusetts or Maine or Vermont or one of these far left states and one party states, which is exactly what the Dems are aiming for. And we want Virginia to reflect the legacy of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and James Monroe and George Mason and Patrick Henry and all of those illustrious founding fathers that made such a mark not only on Virginia history, but on American history. So please pray for us. And you Virginians who are listening to me, and I know there are Virginians listening right now, again, if you haven't voted, please make sure you do. Now, I have to admit I haven't yet. For 2 days I've been planning to get there, but my days have been extremely busy and I haven't been able to do it. So it looks like I think sometime tomorrow, I should have time to get that done. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I trust all you Virginians out there. And by the way, if there's anybody listening right now who's living in New Jersey, I'm not sure we have any stations in New Jersey, but through the wonders of modern technology, that doesn't mean you're not a listener who lives in New Jersey. Get out there and vote your Christian values. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. Stand by. We'll be right back.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
Is the ceasefire a setup? This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. President Trump recently brokered a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. But will this only give Hamas the opportunity to rebuild, as Iran is doing now? Meanwhile, President Trump wants the Abraham Accord signed by Israel and longtime Arab enemies. Plus, there is a strong push for a Palestinian state. All these dynamics may be setting the stage for the future invasion of Israel by a coalition of enemies prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where God miraculously rescues them, saying, "The house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God from that day onward." Hear our most recent program on this topic with geopolitical analyst Soren Kern at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend as we discuss whether the UK has reached a societal tipping point.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Would love to take your calls. We have open lines. And any topic I've brought up, or some topic I haven't brought up but you think is worthy of discussion, it's all on the table. 888-589-8840. Let's go right to the phones. We've got Jason in Texas. Jason, welcome.
Hey, Brother Bishop, good to hear you again. I know you're blessed. I'm blessed as well, brother. I'm praying for this country hard. I'm praying for so many people to just wake up. But like I called you before and told you, these people will never change me. I will never go along with their stupid ideas. I will never take my stickers off my truck. I will never take my flags down. And there ain't nothing they can do about it. And what you were saying about the Muslims loving death more than we love life, or however you put it.
Yeah, what they say. They love death. We love life.
Yeah, well, I got a one-year-old baby. I'll die for her. Nobody is going to
come on now.
My daughter. Nobody's going to change my daughter, and nobody's going to change our faith. And God bless you, brother. We're lifting you up in prayer, and we love you.
Thank you, Jason. Always good to hear from you. Well, you've got almost a talk show host introduction when you come on. So thanks for calling, Jason. I appreciate it. Look, you're right. Just the fact that and we do love life because we're believers. And God, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So we do love life. But that doesn't mean we're not willing to lay our lives down for the things that we believe in. So I hope that they also understand that. And we've got a long history of veterans and law enforcement people who have shed their blood and given their lives for righteousness' sake, for the cause of freedom and law and order and those things that make us the greatest civilization the world has ever seen. So you're right, brother. I hope they don't take our love of life as weakness, because that would be a grave error, one that they've already made to their own detriment. So 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to Ray in Louisiana. Ray, welcome.
Hello, Bishop Jackson. First of all, I want to say thank you for your service to our country and the American Family Radio team. But my question to you is this. I have three. The first one is the Havana syndrome. Have you heard of that, and are you familiar with it?
Did you say Havana or Savannah?
No, Havana syndrome. What happened to our servicemen that went over to over in I think it was Cuba. And they're still investigating that to this day. The second one is there's a guy named Jesse Beltran. He's a hypnotist. When Joe Biden left office in 2024, he codified something. He hid it in the CARES Act. No one knows that he did this. And what he did, we need to take a look at it and be very, very conscious about what he has done. Because this, when you look at this, you're going to talk about it. And the third one is, have you heard about the Cognified device? And I'm trying to find out, did Elon Musk or whatever company made this? But they got this thing, and you need to see this. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I want you to go and do a little research. When you see it, sound the alarm. Okay. It's going to blow your mind.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Ray. You've raised three issues that are beyond me. But thank you for the call, and thank you for the rather interesting take. Let's go to Cheryl, also in Texas. Cheryl, welcome.
Hello, Bishop Jackson. How are you?
I am blessed. Cheryl, how are you?
Yes. Thank you, sir. I am as well. So I think I figured out our insurance thing, you know, now that everybody's identifying as whatever they want to identify as, maybe we can all just be illegal aliens and we'll all get free insurance.
I hadn't thought of that, Cheryl, but you know, that's a very good idea, right? All you have to do is say you are, right? And that makes you say you are.
I identify as, because I am already dark skinned, you know, my pigment's kind of dark, so I think I'd fit okay. right in. No, I'm just kidding. All kidding aside, we're trying to fight for our country, and I agree with what the last gentleman said about fighting for our country and never taking our flags down, so amen to that.
Amen. Cheryl, thank you so much for the call. And I believe me, I take what you said in good humor, and you are absolutely right. These days, since you can identify as anything they come up with, we can take advantage of, because all we have to do is say, well, I'm that. So, and we ought to be included. Thank you for the call, Cheryl. God bless you. Let's go to, my namesake, Jackson, also in Texas. Well, welcome, Jackson.
Thank you, Bishop. So I just got a question for you about the Islam religion. I have studied, I know that the Shiite Muslims believe in the Mahdi and the 12th Imam and about right. bringing him back for world domination. It's their, like, counterfeit Messiah. But what do Sunni believe for their eschatology? Is there a big difference? I mean, I think they're both for world domination and converting infidels and all that. But do you know what the difference would be?
Well, yeah. And thank you for the call, Jackson. I like the name, by the way. Look, my understanding is that the Shia versus the Sunni, they run the line of Muhammad through two different people. And I forget all the exact details, through two different people. And that's the conflict between them. Who has the authentic line of authority from Muhammad coming down? And it is the Shia Muslims that have this 12th Imam theory based upon, I forget who it is, who was related to Muhammad. I think that the Sunnis expect a worldwide caliphate, but without the sort of the 12th Imam theory behind it. They both expect Islam to govern, to rule the world. But I think the Sunnis do not expect that there's going to be this 12th Imam emanating from the line of authority that the Shias claim. And so forgive me, I'm not an expert on this stuff, and I'm sure there are people who are. In fact, I know some of them who are. But let me take this moment to say this about this whole Islamic thing. Americans have a right to worship whoever and however and whatever they choose. They can worship a squirrel if they want to, and they are free to do so under our First Amendment. But we as Americans don't have to agree with them. Now, that doesn't mean they should be persecuted, that our government should arrest them, that their right to freedom of worship or freedom of religion should be taken away or anything like that. But it does mean that we as Americans have a right to say, but we don't agree with certain things, and we're not going to have Sharia law or some Islamic vision substitute for the vision of our founding fathers and our vision for what we are, a constitutional republic. Okay? I don't expect our country to be governed to have the Bible substitute for the Constitution of the United States, that we're not designed that way. And I certainly don't want the Quran being used that way. But you know what's happening in Europe right now, which is they're setting up these enclaves where Sharia law is practiced, where law enforcement is not welcome, where the government of England is not welcome. And this may be happening in some of these other countries as well. And we simply can't allow that to happen in the United States of America, whether they're Shia or Sunni. So thank you for the call, Jackson. Let's go to, we got a lot of Texans calling. Let's go to Marvin, also in Texas, and then we're going to come to some other folks from some other states. Go right ahead, Marvin.
We're
welcome.
We're crowding them out. Hey, I want to shout out to Cheryl. She made me laugh identifying as an illegal alien. That's hilarious. And Jason from Texas, I would say, I love you, brother, but there is something they can do when you have your Trump stickers and your American flags hanging. They can kill you. And as we have seen, yeah. they do.
Yeah.
But a couple of things. One, on the funny side, government shutdown. I know it's a big subject, but look at my paycheck. They're still taking money out of my check. I'm wondering, they're just banking it, right? Or
how about
it. I don't
that?
Really know.
Good point, Marvin. In other words, they haven't shut down the taking part. You said you had a couple comments. That was one. Was there another one?
There was one more, and I'm asking everybody to pray for Trump, because from what I hear him say, he thinks that works get you into heaven, and that's not the case. The only thing that gets you to heaven is faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Marvin. That's a great point to end your comments on. There are enough people around President Trump that he really ought to know that. And I don't know whether, and I'm sure some of the people around him have told him that. But knowing what we know about President Trump, it may take a little bit to get through to him when he has a certain mindset that he follows. So you're right. We need to pray for this president that we love. But loving him is not going to get him into heaven either. We've got to witness to him and have him ultimately surrender his life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to get him into heaven. So you hit the nail on the head, brother. Okay, let's go to, we got a Virginian here. Let's go to Philip in Virginia. Philip, we got big doings here in Virginia. Welcome to the program.
We certainly do. Thank you, Bishop Jackson. I love your show. I just wanted to ask you a question about the demonization of Lincoln was just a bunch of words. There were a lot of people that died in that war. Lincoln actually prosecuted the war. The South did not invade the North. The South peacefully pulled away from the North and said, leave us alone. And they came down to us to prosecute a war. Killed a lot of people. Took a lot of lives, women, children, took a lot of their material stuff, left them out in the without shelter and things like that. Sheridan and Sherman, I think it was Sherman said that you'd have to bring lunch. A crow would have to bring his lunch if he wanted to fly over where they'd been. So okay. There's a lot of reasons why people would be a little bit upset with Mr. Lincoln. And I just want people to understand that so that, you know, I know you want to demonize the Democrats and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
there was a lot more to it than what you're saying. The reason why Lincoln didn't want to split the Union up was because the South was giving the federal government a lot of money.
Okay. All right. Well, Philip, we're not going to re-prosecute the Civil War. And look, I don't have time to get into a dissertation about the Civil War. I wouldn't entirely agree with your characterization either. I think that Lincoln, having read several of his biographies, I think Lincoln genuinely felt that as president, it was his job was to hold it together in the same way that Andrew Jackson threatened South Carolina when they threatened to secede over tariffs. Had nothing to do with slavery. And he told them, if you try that, I will march troops into South Carolina. So, and he was a Democrat. So I think there's a lot more to it than you're saying as well. But we don't want to relitigate the Civil War. The point is, we came to an impasse in our country where our countrymen started killing each other. And it began in part with demonization. And by the way, if you've got people saying Trump is Hitler, Trump is a Nazi, I don't know. That to me, that's and they would tell you that they have good reason to believe that. So it's really got some similarities. I realize it has some differences as well. Thank God, because I think we forever settled the issue of whether states can leave the Union. That issue had not been settled. I say that was one of the underlying questions that had not been resolved, and it ultimately got resolved violently. Too bad that had to happen, and 600,000 Americans had to lose their lives. But thank you for the call, Philip. Appreciate that. I thought you were going to talk about the upcoming election, and we just got to make sure that the right people get elected here in Virginia so that we can have Virginia reflect what the founding fathers intended for Virginia and for our country. Let's go to, oh my goodness, I don't know. Frank, if you're real quick, maybe I can get you in. Frank from Mississippi.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to have time, but I'll run it by fast. You ever heard of dispensational Bible study?
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, when Paul came along, you know, we live by grace alone, not of works. and when should boast. And the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12 is on hold right now. But when Jesus comes back, he's going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem.
And that's all right. Well, that's as deep as deep as we can go, Frank, with your theological analysis there. I appreciate the call, though. God bless you. God bless you all. Please pray for our country. And thank you all for continuing your support of AFR and American Family Association. And you all know what we have to do. We've got to stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.